Hey guys, welcome to brand new 2021 episode of Wouldn't You Know It. I know I promised to post an episode every week, but then work happened and I couldn't do it. But now I am promising one last time, I will post every single week. At least I will try to. Or we can make it to every single month. Well, let's see how much I hold up my promise. Anyways, a lot of things have happened in 2020. We witnessed and experienced a lot of things we never thought we would. And we also got to know a lot of things about ourselves that we never thought we were able to do, honestly. I never thought I would do a podcast. But anyways, I did, and here we are. So what has happened, nobody can do anything about it, but let's hope for the best in 2021 and let's go forward. So here is a good, happy, cheerful and hopeful new year to all of the listeners of Wouldn't You Know It. Let's hope that we all get the things we desire and we all get the things we deserve and we also work towards better things. Anyways, we have come into 2021, but that doesn't mean we will not discuss about things that happened in 2020. Specifically in this episode, I would like to talk about two things that I have seen quite a wide range of emotions and reactions about. The first thing is Apple's new chip, which has just created a brand new sensation in the market. I would say it has upended the market on itself, and surely, yeah, it is a groundbreaking development. And the topic is about the recent WhatsApp privacy policies, and in general about Facebook. It's not just about WhatsApp, it's about Facebook. So let's begin, shall we? So to begin with, Apple announced its new ARM chip, which was kind of expected. You know, we had rumors for a long while, and we were kind of sure Apple was gonna bring out ARM powered MacBooks, but we never thought they would be so, we never thought it would be so smooth in the transition process. Nobody thought it would be, because when you compare to the fact that even Windows have ARM based laptops on Windows end, I think Microsoft has one, yes, the Surface Pro X, and Samsung and Lenovo have also tried one with Snapdragon processors, if I'm not wrong, but they haven't been so spectacular, they haven't been so fantastic, the transition hasn't been so smooth. Apple just surprised everyone, not only at the chips, so much powerful, they are better at running Intel versions like the x86 stuff better than Intel themselves. So yes, for those of my viewers and my listeners who are not tech savvy, this is kind of a quick refresher. So we all work on our PCs and desktops, it is based on architecture, right? And it's usually complex, and this complex architecture has a complex instruction set, and that is kind of what Intel pioneered in its days, and that's why it's called x86, because it became famous with the 86 line of processors back in the day. And then we have ARM, which works on a simple set, like on a simple instruction cycle, on simple on simple instructions and on simple computations. It's like it's trying to make everything simpler. So ARM also existed since the days of Intel, but ARM was mostly used in calculators, in billboards, in places where there wasn't much resource intensive computational power was not involved, and ARM was never contender for desktop. Like, nobody considered ARM to be ever be used in a desktop. But then Apple came along and took ARM upon itself to in the new iPhone that they launched back in 2007. And it just shook everyone. Nobody thought that, you know, back in the day, mobile phones would have so much power in a phone, but Apple showed them that. And that's how ARM made a name for itself in the industry, that yes, ARM can do stuff that people thought it was not possible. But then Apple slowly and slowly began working on its own processors, and they slowly and slowly they made it more powerful, right? To the point where the same mobile processor is now powering their brand new laptops and desktops. And it is insanely powerful. There is no doubt on that. Like, it is insanely powerful. We have seen the benchmarks, we have seen the scores. And I'm not saying that scores are everything, but yes, we have also seen videos of people working on it. We have also seen creative people, video editing, Illustrator, Photoshop, day one support for a lot of software and stuff. It's working, right? But a lot of other people have been kind of skeptical, or you can say haters of ARM. Not exactly haters, like they believe in the... I used to do that. I'll tell you what, I used to think of the same philosophy. I used to think that a mobile processor would never be able to beat a desktop processor. But it happened. A mobile processor was able to beat a desktop class processor. And we have to give Apple the props for that, because I never thought it would happen, but it happened. But now I have to accept it. I cannot deny the fact that it happened. But a lot of people do deny it, a lot of people don't accept it, a lot of people, I don't know, maybe it's their general hate towards Apple that is speaking this, or maybe like they were, it is such a profound, like, this invention that it just you know, threw everyone up with their head. I don't get the exact term, but yeah, you get it, right? So this happened, right? But we have to consider a few things that I think nobody is talking about. First thing is, people are saying Microsoft couldn't do it. It didn't happen in Windows, even though they were trying for a longer time period. But Apple was able to do it. And I believe the reason is, you know, the closed ecosystem of Apple that helped them achieve this. But also, the other reason because of why this didn't happen is because Windows is the most, like, it is the biggest operating system in the world. It is used everywhere. Like, I would say even my local bread and butter shops also use computers that run Windows, right? Nobody, you won't see Mac computers or like Apple computers everywhere. You'd see it everywhere among creative professionals, among the industry, among business professionals, but you wouldn't see it everywhere in your day-to-day life. Windows is everywhere, and you wouldn't believe people still use Windows XP, people still use Windows 7. I'm 100% sure, like, my college and school computers are still running on Windows 7 or 8. Windows 10 is a far-fetched reality for a lot of things. Bank systems run the previous version of Windows. ATM machines were running the previous version of Windows, which is kind of a surprise to me, because I never thought, you know, we take out money, financial stuff is supposed to be the most secure, right? But it is not the most secure. It is using a very outdated software. It's using Windows. Thank God Microsoft is supporting those systems and patching them up critical security bugs. But then this is the point. Windows is being used everywhere, and with that comes a lot of legacy software, a lot of legacy stuff that Windows cannot just, you know, cease to support. Let's say, like, for example, Apple brought the new Macs and introduced USB Type-C, and suddenly they removed all USB Type-A ports, they removed like micro SD card port, they removed everything. Windows laptops cannot do the same. Similarly, if Apple chooses to, it can cease the support of a software or something that is not updated for a long time immediately, and nobody will be able to use it in their Macs. But this same thing cannot happen on Windows side. My dad works in an office that he still uses Fox Pro. I don't know how many of you have heard about that software. It's very old, it's kind of ancient in 2021 if you talk about it, but it is still being used. It serves a person's work, like a person earns money by doing that. So that will tell you how important the legacy software is, and Microsoft cannot outright throw it away. Microsoft cannot just kick it out the door and cease support tomorrow and say that we have developed this brand new Windows 10, it works and so, and you have to do that. And this is the problem that holds a lot of Windows development back. This is the problem why Windows is not moving as fast as Apple's macOS is moving, because they just cannot leap forward and cease to support the older software, or they just cannot make something make a change so drastic that will stop supporting this older software. And that is also a reason why everyone hated Windows 8. Like, we are all used to start menu in XP, in 7. Well, I think the XP was the longest used operating system in any person's life in the last 20 years or 10 years. And suddenly Windows 8 came up and there was no start menu. It brought a start screen. People are not used to it. People are resistive to change. Although Apple forces people to change, but those category of people is very small compared to the base of people using Windows. And that's why the outrage was too strong. You see, the outrage against Apple and Apple products are usually online. But the outrage against Windows, like not all Microsoft products, but especially against Windows, will be felt everywhere. People may not speak it online, but people will be telling about it in their day-to-day life. I have seen it. The shops, the business owners, the local shops that run around me, if they see a change that Microsoft is making, they will speak about it. They may not be online because they may not have a Twitter account or an Instagram account, but they'll speak about it when asked about it, or they'll speak about it when the topic comes up. But when we compare that to the Apple work base, then you will see that the majority of people speaking about it are all online. That's why the effect is felt. We feel that the effect is more profound because we are always online. But then when you detach from the online world and you look around yourself, nobody speaks about that, because the user base that uses Macs are a very tiny base and are separate from the rest of the people. They are creative professionals, they are business professionals, they need those powerful software and tools, they need all those things updated to the latest so that they can make and create their software. But for majority of us who are Windows users, it is kind of like we are not updating ourselves as fast as let's say Apple or Mac users, because updating also requires certain amount of investment which all people may not be able to do. This is one of the primary reasons why Windows support of ARM is not as good as, let's say, Apple's support of ARM. And that's the reason why Windows on ARM is not as good as, let's say, macOS on ARM. Or that is the reason why Apple was able to build such a powerful ARM chip for itself, whereas Microsoft has not been able to do that. I think that is one point which everyone is missing, and that is the biggest reason why things on the Windows side is kind of behind when you compare it to the Mac. Like, technologically, if you see some things that Microsoft brings up, it is always already present on the Apple side. And this is the reason, this is the primary reason. I don't know people in the US see this or not, people in the Western countries see this or not, but me being from India, I see this all around me every day, and it does affect this is one of the primary reasons. I think Microsoft sees that, like, not just India, a lot of people, Brazil, maybe other Asian countries, maybe South America. There are a lot of countries in the world, right? Microsoft is a global company. Like, people may not be able to purchase Apple products, but they certainly have a Windows desktop or a laptop in their home. And that's the reason Microsoft has seized this, and so they cannot move as quickly as others. So this is a point to keep in mind. Nobody was talking about this. I thought, yeah, I should bring this up, because I don't know, people might not be facing the issues in the more developed countries, but this is an issue we face in developing nations like ours, and it is important. And yeah, so that's it with, you know, Apple versus Mac. The other thing that I wanted to talk about is, of course, WhatsApp's new privacy policy. Everyone was like, oh no, they changed the privacy, now we will be, you know, giving all our data to Facebook. But the thing is, the day Facebook purchased WhatsApp, it was obvious something like this would happen. See, companies can only run for free for so long. Eventually, they have to start earning, because not everything is not actually free. As they say, if something is free, you are the product. And that means your data is the product. And Facebook just cannot sit around with the WhatsApp doing nothing about it, right? They have to earn money from it. And of course, being a free product, the only way they can earn money is to serve you ads. And without having data about you, they cannot serve you personalized recommendations. That is how ads run. In the earlier times, this was not the case, but since Google, you know, Rickrolled everything, and the ad industry was upside down, and so now that's how ads are served. It's personalized to you, and without taking the data from WhatsApp, Facebook cannot personalize your data. It was eventually coming. Like, you should have already guessed that. There was no point, you know, in trying to be like, WhatsApp will give away my data, WhatsApp will now share everything with Facebook. They are already doing it. Do you think they're not doing it? They already know about it. Instagram is also a product of Facebook, and Instagram is sharing a shit ton of data with Facebook, and you are not bothered, but suddenly you are now bothered by the data shared from WhatsApp. Why? Facebook already knows what is a WhatsApp number, and they know if your number is connected to their Facebook account or not. If it is connected, they know who are you actually. If you have a fake account, that's a different thing. If you're not, then they already know who you are. And if you have an Instagram account, then they already know all of your accounts. So there is no point, like, in trying to be like, they take away my data. They will already have your data. And Facebook's history with privacy is not so great. We all know that. So if you were really, like, protective of your privacy, then you shouldn't have used WhatsApp the day Facebook purchased it. But you don't care, right? Because otherwise you would have tried other solutions. Who doesn't want it? And yeah, you may be trying it, then there is the other effect, like the network effect, because your friends are on WhatsApp, so you are on WhatsApp, and because you are on WhatsApp, now your family is on WhatsApp, and so forth and so on. Yeah, that is also one of the primary parameters of why we use a service. But I'll say this to all the, like, comments and reactions coming up, this was eventually coming. There is no surprise to this. Facebook was gonna do it anyway. Like, they may delay it 1 month, 2 months, or like maybe another 6 months, but eventually they'll start doing it. They'll start serving you ads anyway, anyhow. They may not share the data with Facebook, but then Facebook is already owning WhatsApp, so WhatsApp will find some other sneaky way to serve you ads. Because you can see, even if you don't have WhatsApp's number saved, they can still send you stories, right? So if, like, they are strictly following WhatsApp's own rules, then WhatsApp itself shouldn't be able to send us stories, because we don't have the number saved, right? Now we have seen their stories, but still we can't message them. That's strange, right? So yes, it's their product. They can choose to change it however they want. And mind this, they will serve you ads. It may be delayed by 1 month or 2 months or 6 months, eventually ads are coming. Get this in your head, and if you are not comfortable with that, you can switch, you can force your friends to switch, or you can simply switch and ask your friends to have another app side by side to talk with you. It's up to you. But ads are coming, get this in your head. And yes, Facebook's history with privacy is terrible, especially since the Cambridge Analytica scandal. We all know what Facebook was doing. It's not like those people want to deliberately sell your data. They are deliberately messing with your data. No. See, they are running a company, right? They have to earn money. There are employees. They have to serve them. Employees are getting like salary in lakhs and crores. Like somewhere the money has to come, right? Somewhere the income has to be generated. Otherwise, how will they give all this financial stuff to people? So this is how they do it. They serve you ads, and those like employees they hire, they bring out new ways to serve you ads. Eventually, it's all about ads. Whatever the product and service they're creating, no doubt it's creating a ton shit, like shit ton of more jobs, more type of opportunities. But at the end of the day, the only way Facebook earns money is through ads. And Facebook doesn't have any other product avenue, like let's say Google, who has a lot of subdivisions like search and Android and everything. But Facebook does not have anything like that, and the only way it earns money is through ads. And so they will serve you ads one way or the other, and it is no surprise. And that's why that's like the whole Cambridge Analytica thing came out, and we saw that data was not being handled properly. But the thing is, the data is to be handled that way so they can serve you better ads. Yeah, I'm not saying that is right. I'm no one to say that is right. Like, even I am strongly opposed to that. They could have taken better measures. They could have done some things that, like, to protect privacy of the users. But they didn't do it. They became greedy, maybe. I don't know. But the story in short is, Facebook's history is not great with privacy. And if you're using any product of Facebook, be aware, right? That eventually your data is gonna go to them. Eventually, you are gonna get ads served. Yes, but there is hope, especially for iOS users, because first thing, I don't know why all of Facebook products have new updates on iOS first and then it comes to Android. Like, yeah, I understood few years back it was a thing because iOS was good, Android's policies, Android's like whole Android thing was not good, but I don't know why they do the same thing now. It should launch simultaneously. Especially seeing that Android is more used in India, where WhatsApp is the most used application than iOS, but they still refuse to launch on Android and iOS at the same time. For some reason, they still keep on launching on iOS first and then on Android weeks later, sometimes months later. So yeah, and apart from that, iOS has a lot of privacy features. We all know Apple cares so much about privacy. There is an ongoing fight between Apple and Facebook regarding those new iOS privacy protection features. So yes, people on iOS have a kind of a silver lining. They will be protected a lot. But on Android, yes, even though Android has a lot of protection features, like they're still allowed to bypass it. They ask for permissions, and I don't think users really see those permissions. Do you see it? I don't think so. Like, you just hit on tap yes, yes, yes and go forward, right? You give them all the permissions they want. But yeah, I don't know why it happens on Android. Maybe because Android is available to the mass and the masses are really not educated that much that they will look upon it, or maybe they don't just care about it, or because the iOS users are spending so much money, they really look over things, everything that they do on the phone, and because the Android users get it for so cheap, they do not look up. I don't know the reason. It may be someone will tell the reason, definitely. I definitely don't know, but this is what happens. iOS users really refine whatever they see. Like, they carefully choose whatever they accept. They carefully read through all the options that comes through. But the same thing doesn't happen on the Android side. I've seen it among my friends who own iOS and among my friends who own Android, I've seen this disparity, this difference. But yes, keep a watch on those permissions. You can go and check my Instagram post I had about permissions. Yeah, that's it. I think I'll end that on this note. Oh no, what am I saying? So I'll end it on the positive note that, you know, be on the lookout. WhatsApp will definitely serve you ads. And yes, keep an open mind. Now be open to any possibility. We don't know. Like Samsung is the world leader in so and so technologies today. Maybe Sony will go forward. Nokia was once the pioneer of smartphones and now it's nowhere to be seen. So yes, keep your mind open to any possibilities. And because we don't know what will happen next, we cannot even expect what will happen next. Being open to possibilities will get us more opportunities. I hope you like this episode of Wouldn't You Know It. If you liked it a lot, please go to Podchaser or Apple Podcasts, if anyone of you is listening on Apple Podcasts, and leave us a review. That will be very nice. Feedback is highly appreciated. And thanks for listening. See you in the next episode. Take care.